We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
All right, well, I'm just going to go ahead and just kind of dive in a little bit here. If you weren't here last week, I kind of got a little two-parter here for you guys, and it's called Be Like God. And the reason why we have to be like God is because that's the only way that the Zoe life is attainable. We can't be like ourselves and then have the God kind of life. It's just, that's not how it works. That's not how God intended it to work. And the great news is that this is all God's plan. And I gave you guys out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. It says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And again, the portion of that is that we were created to be like God. We've been recreated to be like God. We're to be like God. And our faith and our salvation is more than just making us be good boys or good girls. No, there's a transformation process where we are recreated to be like God. And that's not to elevate ourselves, but rather to do what Christ did. And I read this out of Philippians 2:5, and I think it's important because it helps us keep perspective. It says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant." And that's got to be our perspective tonight. That we're in our very nature to be like God, not considering equality with him to be something to be used for our own advantage, rather to be used for God. And I gave three reasons why sometimes we don't, as Christians, accomplish this. And if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back and listen, because it's I think that was a powerful time. But kind of in moving on with what I want to talk about tonight, I want to just speak again on this another portion of Ephesians, but it's in chapter 2. And it's verses 4 through 7. It says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. God raised us up with Christ Jesus and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." If you are still in that place where you're like, "I don't know," remind yourself you have been seated with Christ right now. You've been seated with Christ right now. You currently, if you are a believer and you believe and you hold to what God says, you have been seated with Christ right now. And in those times when you feel like, "I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't feel like I'm passing. I feel like I'm failing. I'm frustrated. I'm dejected." Remember, you are already seated with Christ. The work is done. The work has been done. That's why Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." You have been seated with Christ. So you've got to stop seeing yourself as something less than what God intended for you to be. If this verse didn't say we've been seated with Christ, then there's no need for me to be up here hopping around talking about it. But we have been seated with Christ, and that's something to be excited about, because that tells us that there's an authority that's been placed on us through the power of the Spirit of God and the transformation process. And it's because of scriptures like what I just read that we're urged to remember we were all originally created in the image of God as mankind, and now in the new covenant, we've been recreated back into the image of God. We've been recreated in God's image. And we're to be encouraged by that, because why else would God say that we're to be the body of Christ if we're not to be recreated and to be like God? What do we think that means when it says that we're to be the body of Christ? It's not just about us getting a salvation. It's not just about us getting a ticket. It's not just about us trying to make ourselves feel better. But rather, there's work to be done. And us who are being recreated to be like Christ are to be the body of Christ and to do that very work. Each one of us are little Christs, recreated by the power of God's Spirit. Not for us to put our own little twists on the process, and we'll just represent God how we want to. Rather, we look to what the Word says that we're to do, and then we do it. Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6 says, "For he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of the glorious of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." You've been predestined to do it. God's predestined you to do it. And don't get tripped up by predestination. Well, does that mean I'm not? You have been predestined. Jesus Christ died so that all could believe. You have been predestined. God intended for this process to happen in your life. Ephesians 1, verse 11 says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." It's God's will that you would conform, not to the patterns of this world, but be transformed rather into what his will would have you be. That's for you to be like him. It's for you to be empowered to be like him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus." I'm just trying to get this in us. "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works for which God prepared in advance for us to do." This has been God's plan all along, people. It's what Lucifer sought away from God, equality with God. It's what he convinced Adam and Eve that they could get away from God. No, 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 not if you eat that fruit, you'll die, but God knows you'll be like him. No, no, we don't have to pursue things to be like God away from him. Rather, if we'll just stick with the plan of God, he has a plan to recreate us, to make us to be like him. And we don't have to live our lives on this earth getting our butts kicked all the way through it. If we'll just trust the process. And this week, that's what I want to talk about. Because I believe that we're all in agreement that being like God is what God intended us to do. So I want to talk about tonight how we actually accomplish this. But before I do, I just want to make one quick parallel. You know, Christians, I think this will speak to a lot of people in here tonight. Christians are a lot like coffee. And see, that coffee bean goes through quite a process to get to the part that everyone can enjoy, right? It goes through quite a process. Nobody just takes a bitter coffee bean and throws it in a cup and all right, here we go. I mean, but there's a process. There's a crushing. There's a liquid that goes over that washes it. There's a sieve that sifts everything out, and then the only thing that's left is the good stuff. Good to the last drop. That's what God's looking to do in us, to recreate us into something that can be enjoyed by everybody or for the people that like to drink coffee. So I want us to look at Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24. And again, this is the way. These three steps are the way that we are to be made to be like God. Okay? And it's just from the Word. We're going to put off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So that's the first one we're going to talk about. We're going to be made new in the attitude of our minds. That's the second thing that we've got to do to be created to be like God. And the last thing we've got to do is we've got to put on our new self. Okay? So the first thing, the first step, how we are created to be like God, is we put off our old selves. And it's not to say that we take it like our old Letterman jackets, where we take them off, and that's not who I am, and we hang it in there, and then every now and again, when nobody's around looking, go in there and get that Letterman jacket on, and we try to button it up, and we're looking at our stuff on there in the mirror, and that's not what putting your old self off means. It's not like just taking off your Letterman jacket. It's a much deeper process. And I want to look at something maybe you've not considered before. John 11, verses 41 through 44. This is whenever Jesus is calling Lazarus out of the tomb. And Jesus convinces them, do you not believe that I will do what I said that I would do? So verse 41 says, so they take away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, for I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. That take off the grave clothes is the same example when we're talking about we put off our old self. We're taking off that which represents death over us. Our old self is death. Our old self, it's not something to be adhered to be looked back on with fondness, to be remembered well, to pine for the good old. No, that's the death clothes. And we, like dead men, have been called out of the tomb into new life. Take those grave clothes off and be and have freedom. Walk. Let him go. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 6 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Our flesh, our old self, is the reason why the wrath of God is coming. So the last thing that we need to be doing is be trying to put that old self back onto a new self that has life and freedom. But a lot of Christians struggle with this, because they think that since they've done it once, that they don't ever have to do that again. But the scriptures are a reminder to us that our flesh is never going to be sanctified here on this earth. Nothing about our flesh while we're here on this earth will have the glory of God manifest in it. Now please hear me. I'm not talking about healing. I'm not talking about peace. What I'm talking about is your flesh, your old self, your carnal nature, the old man, the thing that we're putting to death every day, the reason why Christ had to come and die on the cross. If your flesh could be made right after one time, God would say, well, let's reconcile that. But that's not what God did. It's not a part of what the new covenant's been made peace with. Your spirit and your soul have been made right with God. Your flesh has to be made a slave. It's not being made right with God. It's being punished and put to death every day. See, it's that part of you as a three-part being that the spirit is at war with. So we must stop trying to reconcile our flesh and our spirit together and just kill it. It's not to be reconciled. We're not having negotiations. It's kind of what like when the government says we don't negotiate with terrorists. You're not negotiating with your flesh because it's been good for so many days, for so many weeks. Well, I've gone 5 years without alcohol being a problem. I've gone 5 years without drugs being a problem. I've gone 5 years without that porn addiction. Come on. I'm over that. The only reason why you got over it is because you put it to death in the first place. Don't be trying to go back and letting that old man have a say. Well, come on. That's why so many Christians deal with carnality longer than they should, because we think that there will come a time somewhere in our walk where our flesh will go, I've got it all figured out. Our flesh isn't going with us, guys. We get a new one of those when we go to heaven. This part of us, come on, some of us need to be amen a little louder. Now. Our flesh isn't going with us, guys. It's not going with us. We're getting a new one of these bodies when we are in glory. So it knows it only has the time that we're living here to live it up. It only gets one chance. Your spirit and your soul get an eternity. We've got to put our flesh down every day. Our flesh doesn't need sanctification, it needs sacrifice. We're not sanctifying our flesh, we're sacrificing our flesh. Each and every morning, every afternoon and evening and night. We have to put it off. And then we put it off today, and then we put it off tomorrow, and then we put it off forever, and every moment in between. Embracing the mortification of our flesh so that we can be created to be like God. Because that's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. Notice what Christ allowed to be crucified on the cross was his body. God allowed his body, Christ allowed his body to be whipped. Christ allowed his body to take the punishment for our sin. Why? Because that's where it was going to die. Now, yeah, we're probably not going to get crucified here in America. Hopefully. We're probably not going to get tortured for our faith. But we still have to, don't let that trick you into thinking that your body doesn't have to go through a sacrificed moment every day. We've got to put it off, and we've got to put it to death. Because we can never be made to be like God if our spirit is having to contend with the stone of our flesh to get us out, because it's not out of the way. We've got to roll it out of the way so that the Spirit of God can call us out from the grave, and we put that flesh in the grave in its place where it belongs. Amen? So that's the first thing. First thing, in order to be made like God, you've got to put off the old man. The second thing is we have to be made new in the attitudes of our minds. What Ephesians 4 says. And why? Why? When our attitude already is that we're acknowledging God as our Lord. It's because our attitude has to be changed, because if our confidence isn't in him as our Lord, we will get moved away from the promises of God when we get discouraged. So we have to be made new in the attitudes of our minds every day. Proverbs 4:23. Hear it 100 times. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your attitudes. For everything you do flows from it. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may take peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. What Jesus is trying to say is, don't let your attitudes be shifted away from the confidence that you have in me, or else the ground that's been gained will be lost to the enemy because of the warfare going on in our minds, in our attitudes. I want to marry this to the idea of God's care for the people in Exodus whenever they were leaving to go to the promised land. Let's look at Exodus chapter 13. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them through the road through Philistine country, though that way was shorter. Mind you, they're headed to the promised land. Now, wouldn't you think the quicker we can get to the promised land, the better? Yeah, that's what you'd think, except God knew better, because God knew the power of our attitudes. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites went up and out of Egypt ready for battle. We have to be so careful and guard our minds, guard our thoughts, or else what happens is we might get pushed to the place because, you know, Melanie talked about being crushed, being on every side, but being perplexed, but not being dismayed. Because life has a way through pressure when we're trying to walk the narrow road of trying to influence the way we think based on what's going on around us. But God sees the need, and we have to see the need, that in order to be created to be like him, our attitudes must be fixed on the confidence that comes from the Holy Spirit at work within us. Or else, we'll return to Egypt. The only reason why we try back on that Letterman jacket is because we think, that might still fit. I could still put that back on. I can still go back to that. I know I can always go back to that if this don't work out. Well, if this isn't help. You have to be reminded, what did Egypt represent? Sin and slavery. So we were freed from all that, but because our attitudes of our mind get changed, now we're wanting to throw ourselves back into bondage, and we don't remember it how it really was. Well, at least in Egypt, I had 3 square meals a day. At least in Egypt, you know, I had something to look forward to every day, and I could just know what it was going to be like. Yeah, awful. But our minds get twisted, and we don't see that where God's trying to take us in the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, is better off than we ever were. It's like, the same thing happens in the new covenant, people. That's why our attitudes have to be changed. God's calling you to be made to be like him, and you're still trying to think back, well, I don't know. No, you do know. You know. You know why you left that old place. You know why you gave that up on the altar. You know why you sought God. Because you remember how life was before him, and you know that life's better with him. Don't walk away. Don't walk away. Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." The transformation that's going on within you is trying to keep you in a place where you are no longer a slave to your sin, where you have no rights, where you have no freedom, where you get no say, no authority. Here's how it's going to be: death. Here's how it's going to be: awful. And you have no hope to change it. No. So that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That's why our attitudes have to be changed. See, we can't allow ourselves to think that how we used to think in the being created to be like God. There's no room for that thinking anymore. There's no room for the old negative way, the old depressed way, the old anxiety way. For that to have, we're not going to have any room for that when we're trying to think like God. I think clearly. I think effectively. I don't think negatively. I think peacefully. We've been given now to have the minds of Christ. See, just like it says that there's no allowance for new wine and old wineskins, we're also not going to fill up our new wineskins with old wine. I'm not putting that in here. I'm not putting that old thought in here. It's a new wineskin. I'm going to put the new stuff. I'm going to let what God's downloaded in me now, because I'm seated in Christ, not the old way whenever I was seated in the grave. I've got a new way I think about things. Not because this is just a self-motivating message and I just get myself all excited. No, it's what the Word of God tells us. That's what I'm filling my mind with. I'm not taking what the news says. I'm not taking what the world says. I'm filling myself constantly with what the Word says, and I'm capturing every thought. Is that a God thought? Oh, no. That goes in the grave. No. That's from the grave. I'm not getting the grave thinking in with my new thinking. And that's where we've got to stay. That's where we've got to live. In the mind of Christ, there's no room for the old Egypt self-worth. And you'll never be made to be like Christ, thinking like the dumb mortal man or woman. I want to make sure that I'm fair, because you ladies can do anything us men can do, right? Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. However, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Don't let the old way of thinking get in the way of the new way of thinking as you're being created to be like God. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And that's how we operate now. That's how we operate now, with the mind of Christ. And the last thing that we do, the last step, we put off our old self. We have our attitudes changed. The third step is we put on our new selves. In order to truly be made to be like God, we have to complete this last step. And this, the last step, takes a lot of effort, because this is us accepting the yoke of responsibility. And a lot of Christians stop at putting off the old self. I'm not doing that stuff anymore. I'm going to think like God. Now over here is I'm going to operate like God. I'm going to operate like God. I'm going to put on my new self. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God's very spirit at work within us. And I was just walking around today, and one of the verses that Joey Moody actually was wanted to read to me was this scripture today. And I just thought it went so good. Because again, it goes to the very thought that this isn't something new necessarily that God's intended. No, God's always intended for us to get to this point. But this is in 2 Chronicles, and I think this is so cool. For those of you that don't know, 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament, so Old Covenant. But 2 Chronicles 7:16 says, I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. If God's eyes were on the temple of his spirit in the Old Covenant, who's the temple of the Holy Spirit now? Where are God's eyes always now? On the temple of his Holy Spirit. Who's the temple of his Holy Spirit? We are. We are. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The power that we have, the power that takes us to a new level, the power that is what makes it important. A temple by itself is just a building without the Spirit of God in it. That's why it points to this, and it kind of makes a joke at it. In jars of clay, we have this all-surpassing power. We have the Spirit of God, the very Spirit of God on the inside of us. That which causes us to be able to walk in the authority, the ability, the thinking of God. The Spirit of God is on the inside of us, creating us, transforming us by the power of the word that we're adhering to be like him. And that's what makes it valuable. That's what gives you and I the ability not just to cast it off, not just to change our mind, but now to operate differently because we've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, operating through us as we live, move, and have our being in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step then with the Spirit. In putting on our new selves now, and we're going to operate in the Spirit. This is what I'm talking about. It's the responsibility. I'm not just merely a vessel. Yes, Paul is talking about us being a jar, a clay pot, for the Holy Spirit to be within us. But not just am I going to contain it and hold it, but rather I'm going to live by the Spirit. Therefore, I'm going to walk and keep in step with the Spirit. I'm listening to what he says. I'm doing what he tells me. I'm reading and then I'm applying what he says. And I'm activated by that power to walk and do the things like God would do. I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. We're keeping in step with the Spirit. When we obey God's word and we do things for others, when we lay hands on people, when we see blind eyes open and deaf ears open, and they all of a sudden people get and because of the words we speak or what we do at work or the way we do our job, that's us not just being a vessel of the Holy Spirit, which we should be, but we're also keeping in step with the Spirit. And that's whenever the transformation, it's like, it talks about, I think it's in Hebrews, but it talks about it how it's like a mirrored thing. It's like all of a sudden we have this look of, it's like, oh, it's like a glimpse. Oh, I just transformed a little bit right there. And for a second, for somebody somewhere who never knew God or didn't know what God looked like, in that very moment, we stepped in and they saw Christ. They saw God. They experienced the power of God in us because we didn't just merely contain his Spirit, but rather we kept in step with it and we did what his Spirit has authorized us and given us power to do. We were like God. We allowed God to let us be like him. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. This is why the Pharisees had such a problem with what the Christians were trying to do at the time. The people depended upon the Pharisees and what they said went and the laws that they exhibited should be, and you'll never attain this, but look at us and how great we are. What the Holy Spirit has done for each and every single one of us is it's given us an opportunity at the ministry of reconciliation. You know whose ministry that is that we're just taking on? It's God's. It's Jesus's. It's the Holy Spirit. The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of bringing those who are far off to the very feet of Jesus by us being the hands and feet of God. Being transformed to be just like God so that people know I know what Christ looked like because I've seen him. Because I've seen her. I've seen the way he works. I've seen the way he speaks. I've seen the way that he carries himself, even though I know he's had a rough day today. I've seen the way that they raise their kids. I've seen the way that they serve the church. I've seen the way that they've stayed committed to each other. I've seen the face of God. Because why do you think Jesus said, when you do these to the least of these, you do it unto me? Because when you parallel that, it's Christ working through us to the least of these. That's what Christ is. That's the turn of that. When we allow ourselves to be moved by the Holy Spirit, to be transformed, not just for our own benefit, not just so we can seek equality with God for our own advantage, but rather for the advantages of others. That's when we're letting the ministry of reconciliation really move through us and activate in people's lives. That's why Jesus said in John, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do these works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." It's because we allow ourselves to be recreated, to be like God. To be like God. By the power of the Spirit, as a new creature, I operate not as the old man, not as the man in transition to who I am to be right now, but rather more than just a vessel of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, activated, an active agent, a co-laborer with Christ, doing the very work and ministry, speaking on the behalf of God to people who don't know the gospel, showing people with my hands and my feet and the way that I work, the work of the gospel, and then loving people with the Father's heart and showing them the way so that they can have the same thing that I have. I'm not offering you the great value brand of relationship that I have. And I'm not handing to an unbeliever a hand-me-down version of the faith that I believe. What I'm trying to get to them and what we do when we work under the power of the Holy Spirit transformed to be like God, what we give them access to is the full force message of the gospel so that their lives can be changed and they can experience the very same things that we experience. That's my hope. Heck, my hope is that they experience greater things. Because that's what Jesus Christ said. You're going to do greater things than I did. But we have to let ourselves be committed to the process. So as I close, we have to see that we can't be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ if we aren't recreated to be like him. And we have to know that the Zoe life is hinged upon a necessary transformation. And it's a daily necessary necessity every single day of every week from here until forever. Until Christ comes back and we enter into that glory and we go into our glorified bodies, then that's when that process will stop. But until then, we allow ourselves to be committed to this process to be made like God. We're not left in the dark, not thinking that it's not possible, because we know now what the Word says. And if we can't, we don't need to just forget the miraculous happening in our lives or through our lives. We won't even walk in the mundane things of God, if that's not a sacrilegious thing to say, the mundane things of God. Forget, we could just forget having grace. We'll forget having peace. There won't be any mercy in our life, no love, no joy, because we're not letting ourselves be transformed. And we have to get beyond not seeing those as important things of God that God wants us to have. Sure, the miraculous. And I love the miraculous. I'm having a hard time finishing that word. I love the miraculous. I love it. But what I love are people every single day waking up having peace no matter what the circumstance is. I love it when people come up here to the altar and they get slain in the Holy Ghost, or they have a manifestation of a healing. Praise God. But you know what I love too? I love people being able to stay married. The mundane things of God because of transformed lives. I love people being able to keep a job. I love employers being able to keep good employees because they've been transformed. I'll tell you what, I could go someplace else to get better money, but I ain't going to get treated better. I love employees being the best employee that their employer could ever hire because they've been transformed to be like Christ. That's what I like. And we can't overlook that this is what God's wanting to do just as much as slay someone in the spirit, have someone have a miraculous healing, experience, you know, just a miracle. All those things, yes, God's wanting us to do those things. But also for us to be able to have the fruits of the Spirit in our life, for us to be able to experience life as we've never seen it before, from a different perspective, that's what being to be made like God is.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.